It is December 25th, 2020. Hello, witches. Welcome to the Witch Daily Show's annual variety holiday episode. This is for anyone who just needs a little extra companionship, kinship, or just a break from the holiday. So we have gathered a few talented witches to share with us some of their amazing skills. So what can you look forward to? Some predictions, some guided meditations, some songs, and a reading. First up, we have Jessica Baumgartner and her song, Ginger's Gingerbread Boyfriend.
All right, this is Jessica Marie Baumgartner, and I'm not just a writer. I've always been into music. I've always written my own music, and it was actually the lyrical part of songwriting that got me into storytelling and got me into writing my own stories. So I wrote my own little song for the holidays called Ginger's Gingerbread Boyfriend because I have a ridiculous sense of humor and I think it's cute. So here we go. We have to have bells, right?
Oh, so I just love songs that are interesting and non-traditional and add a little extra fun to the season. Next up, we have Kiki Dombrowski as she shares her 2021 predictions with us. As you can imagine, this upcoming year is one we are all waiting for.
Happy holidays, witches! This is Kiki Dombrowski, and I am so honored to be here on the Witch Daily Winter Variety Show. I am so excited to share with you the predictions that I've collected for 2021, and I hope that what I share with you today gives you a little bit of inspiration and hope for some of the things that we can look forward to in 2021. Now, when I do predictions, I use a combination of tarot, numerology, and channeling to kind of see what we can look forward to in the year ahead. So to start, 2021 numerologically is a 5 year. The number 5 represents change, activity, and it has a focus on the physical. I personally see the number 5 as an interaction with our 5 senses and our physical environment, which I think is really interesting considering we live in a world that begs for us to constantly be interacting electronically. So one of the things about the number 5 is that I believe that next year we are going to be in in need of being as flexible as possible. We have the opportunity to see opposing sides. We have the opportunity to better understand different perspectives. We have the opportunity to even reassess what freedom means. And that could be in a national or international sense, or perhaps even one within our own bodies. So the interesting thing about the number 5 is that it's not a conservative number. So take that any way you will, but the number 5 is all about change and exploration and taking risks. The tarot card that I associate with the number 5 is the Hierophant. And the Hierophant is a card of initiations. It's a super esoteric card. It's about breaking from tradition. It's about initiating into wisdom, into really deeply thoughtful universes. It's really an opportunity to just rise above everything we once believed to be the absolute truth, which I think is interesting when we think about people talking about going back to normal. Perhaps the Hierophant is coming aboard to say, was there ever really a normal? So, some of the questions that you can ask when thinking about the number 5 and the Hierophant and moving into 2021 can include, where can I intellectually expand? What lessons do I have in my body? What would happen if I explore what I'm curious about? What do I learn from my desires? What do I learn from my thoughts? And what do I learn from my reactions? So moving on, I pulled a few cards for some different questions. And one of the first questions I wanted to ask was, what is an overall theme to 2021? And for that, I pulled the tarot card, the Two of Pentacles. And initially, when I saw the Two of Pentacles, I thought of what Rachel Pollack said in her book, 78 Degrees of Wisdom. She said that the Two of Pentacles represents precarious balance. And so for 2021, I want to remind you that we are not out of deep water quite yet. We still need to concentrate. We still need to focus. We still need to really keep in a mindset of balance to remain in balance. I also think that people are finding ways to entertain themselves. Obviously, 2020 was a very challenging year, and the Two of Pentacles could represent that this is something that we carry with us. We've found ways to find pleasure in dark times. Perhaps we'll look back at 2020 with gratitude. Not sure how yet, but perhaps that's a way we find some sort of internal balance. Another thing that I would think too is with the Two of Pentacles, some of the things that you might want to ask in 2021 are, do you feel centered and present, or do you feel distracted and distant? So in other words, perhaps it's time to find peace of mind, balance between work and social life, and finding a balanced, healthy routine. So, some other questions that I got from other people. One includes, will 2021 be better than 2020? For this, I pulled the Eight of Cups. So, it's really interesting. I think that 2021 is a time of passage. 2021 isn't necessarily going to be roses and rainbows and unicorns, but instead, it's going to be a point where we have the opportunity to start the, for lack of better words, the ascension path. What I mean by this is, I think that the Eight of Cups could represent an opportunity where we can really spiritually evolve. Those who are willing to reach for spirituality, in many ways, this can coincide with the ideas of initiations and the Hierophant. And so I think that maybe people can find their higher calling in 2021. We have the opportunity to grow and evolve. anything that allows us to be more self-aware is what we need to focus on in 2021. Otherwise, we could be left in a place of stagnancy. One person asked me to pull a card for the question, how will Joe Biden's first year as president look like? For this, I pulled the Queen of Swords. Very, very interesting answer. And what I take from that is that I actually want to watch Kamala Harris very closely. I think she's going to be making a lot of powerful choices. And I also think that Joe Biden is really going to have a very, very powerful cabinet. And there's going to be a lot of powerful women in charge. During this question and pulling this card, I kept having clairvoyant hits of AOC. That's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So perhaps she will continue to be in the spotlight in 2021. Another question that a lot of people have been asking is, who will run the U.S. Senate? And for this, I actually did something interesting. In my head, I started to shuffle the cards, and in my head I said, if justice appears upright, there will be Democratic control. And if it appears reversed, it will be Republican control. And for this, I pulled justice upright. So I do think that we're going to have Democratic control. So moving on, another question that was asked, and this was something that obviously came up a lot. A lot of people are curious about COVID-19 and what's going to happen with COVID-19 in 2021. So the way I worded the question when drawing cards was, what will be the progression of slowing and curing COVID in 2021? And for this, I pulled two cards. I pulled the Two of Swords and the Seven of Pentacles. So first and foremost, I implore you to listen to medical experts, pay attention to Dr. Fauci, practice social distancing, and wear a mask that covers your nose and mouth. That being said, I think that there might actually be more lockdowns, or that lockdowns and serious social distancing measures are going to be something that we see in the beginning of the year. I also did a little channeling session maybe a couple weeks ago, and in that session heard that we will start seeing improvements in May. That's improvements. That doesn't mean shiny, healthy perfection the world around, but still better than nothing. So looking at what I said in the channeling along with the cards, I want to say that I think around the end of May and in the beginning of June, we're gonna start seeing the slowing and the curing of COVID-19. But like I said, wear a mask. Oh, and wash your hands often. Another question. Will we make progress towards slowing global warming and healing the environment? So I pulled out two cards. They were both challenging. The first card that flew out was the Tower. And that's concerning to me in that I hope that we are able to start to fix and cure all the damage that has been done already. To me, it kind of says, we have so much happening and so many challenges already that we have a lot of healing efforts underway that we need to work on. I think with seeing an Aerophant year and all the other cards that I've pulled for this about balance and focus, we really need to work on small scale. So one of the things that you can do is learn personal ways to maintain sustainable practices. But I think looking forward, the Page of Swords would say to me, we have to really deeply embed in younger generations the value of saving our planet. And then finally, I wanted to pull some cards and talk a little bit about maybe magical focuses for witchcraft and witches in 2021. So I pulled two cards for this, the Fool card and the Ace of Cups. So I think that these are really interesting. considering that we're going to have a 5 year, and I think that 21 is a total departure from tradition. It's about trying to become self-aware. It's about exploration of who we are and where we fit into the world. And I believe that witchcraft is going to continue to gain popularity, and that it's just going to be an expanding curiosity amongst a lot of people. So in 2021, I think we're going to continue to see new practitioners, and I believe it's the goal of teachers and leaders to help support new explorers in these magical practices. So I think in terms of magical focuses for witches in 2021, in addition to supporting people who are new to the craft, it's all about new beginnings, and it's all about love. It's about healing from grief, because I think that 2020 had a lot of grief and a lot of challenges. I think that the mantra I hear the most when I look at these cards and I think about magical focuses for witches in 2021 is the mantra, in perfect love, in perfect trust. That being said, some of the crystals that I think would be beneficial for you to have on hand in 2021 include rose quartz, turquoise, and I hope I say this correctly, ruby fuchsite. Ruby fuchsite. F-U-C-H-S-I-T-E. Hope that helps you. It's a beautiful green crystal with these like little red speckles in them. It's really pretty. An oil blend that would be excellent for witches in 2021 would be a mixture of cardamom, lavender, geranium, and frankincense. And as we move forward into 2021, keep in mind that some of the things that are going to be really important right now are really staying as closely connected to our families and our small communities, and really showing our love and gratitude for the people in our lives who support us. And that being said, I want to thank you all, the listeners of Witch Daily and Tanya, for creating such an incredible, authentic, and welcoming and inclusive community for witches to come together and talk about magic and healing the world. So happy holidays, witches. I wish you all the best in 2021, and take care.
My grandmother always had a hot apple cider and cinnamon mixture simmering in a pot on the stove, or in years later, a crock pot. I never knew she bought the cider from the store. I thought she made it from scratch, like she made everything else. One Christmas, we went to her house and I was craving the cider. I saw on the stove a pot of something boiling, and I thought it was peeled apples. So I started scooping out the water into a cup, and I noticed it wasn't the right color. I grabbed cinnamon and thought it would help. It was awful. As I'm making gagging sounds in utter disappointment, my grandmother walks in and asks, "What are you doing with my potato water?" Yes, she was boiling potatoes, and I was solely focused on apples. She laughed so hard, she almost passed out. And it's been an ongoing joke and with my family now for 30 years. Next, we have Olivia Blake reading an excerpt from her Yule set love story, Saints and Liars, from her book, The Answer You Are Looking For Is Yes.
This is an excerpt from 2018's Saints and Liars, originally published in Which Way magazine and later edited for The Answer You Are Looking For Is Yes. Parts of this excerpt have been altered for time. Cecily Ayers has no interest in coming back to her tiny Midwestern hometown after a successful decade spent living in Los Angeles. But when her grandmother and family matriarch falls ill, Cecily's mother Evelyn summons her home to secure the inheritance of her family grimoire. Porter Callahan hasn't seen or heard from Cecily in 7 years, but when he runs into her in their town's only bar, Cecily asks him for a favor. Date her, at least in public, to get her mother off her back. Unbeknownst to Cecily, Porter has an agenda of his own. Despite her request for company, Porter had had absolutely no plans to attend any sort of event with Cecily Ayers, solstice adjacent or not, until she'd said the worst thing she could have possibly said. "See you around, I guess." As if he hadn't had those words echoing around in his brain for almost the last decade. He certainly wasn't going to let it happen again. This time, he reasoned, he was going to be the one saying it. "Good luck, I guess," he imagined telling her as she set off back for Los Angeles. He trudged through the snow that lined the path to her front door and raised a hand to knock, though it opened before he could. "Hi," Cecily said, breathless. And then, noting the placement of his hand, her cheeks flushed slightly. "Sorry, I usually know when someone's about to knock, but then I forget whether or not it actually happens, so not a problem," he assured her. "Be charming," he reminded himself, because the plan was very simple. It was exactly two steps, neither of which were very complicated. Step one, convince Cecily Ayers to fall in love with him. Step two, let her spend the rest of her life wondering why he never said goodbye. Easy, straightforward, highly doable, as was he. "My mother had to pick something up," Cecily said as she closed the door behind her, "so she'll meet us there." Was she nervous? That was a promising sign. She seemed to be babbling a little bit as he gestured her towards his car, making a point to open the passenger side door for her before ushering her into it. The Ayers matriarch lived on a farm out in the country, which was even more remote than the small town of St. Sturm. The house was a large Victorian with a barn, silo, and series of sheds, all of which were practically invisible amid the surrounding fields of corn and soybeans. This, Porter noted, was a soybean year for the Ayers farm. Porter only went there once a year or so, always with his mother, for coven meetings. Their coven was the largest one in Iowa, spanning almost 15 counties, and the Ayers family, specifically Eleanor Ayers, once her husband had passed, were the heads of it. They had the most expansive line of witches in the Midwest, so it was no surprise to Porter that there were so many vehicles already in the driveway. Eleanor Ayers had 5 children, the eldest of which was Cecily's father, and the others had been quick to reproduce in spades. The inside of the house was packed with people, all of whom seemed completely unconcerned with Porter's entry to the house until they did a double take at Cecily, noting the prodigal daughter's return. The first of these observers was a woman Porter had seen around but couldn't name, though she clearly recognized Cecily. He watched her eyes narrow with scrutiny, the baby on her hips staring with an equal sense of doubtful consideration. "Hi, Rosie," said Cecily, obviously putting some effort into warmth. "Nice to see you." "It's Rosabella," corrected the woman, who was apparently Rosabella, shifting her baby from one hip to the other. "And I didn't think we'd be seeing you, Cecily. How lovely," she added, before turning to Porter, half frowning. "You look familiar." "Porter Callahan," he supplied, opting to shake hands with the baby, who then eyed him with wide-eyed rapture. "Callahan?" echoed someone else who looked precisely like Rosabella, though her own baby, less skeptical, more bored, was strapped to her chest above an obvious pregnancy bump. "Of the Callahans, you mean?" If the Ayers were the most significant witch family in the coven, the Callahans were a close second. Porter was the third son of the third son, hence his name, which was a take on portent. "My mother would want me to assure you I'm equally an Ellis witch," Porter said, "but yes, I am one of the Callahans." "What on earth are you doing here?" asked the girl, glancing stiffly at Cecily. "Oh, hi, Cecily." "Hi, Adria," Cecily replied glumly. Porter, who had in the past 7 years become the sort of man who learned to seize a moment when it arrived, slid an arm around her waist. "I'm here with Cecily," he explained. And though Cecily stiffened in apprehension, Adria and Rosabella exchanged a glance that told him, in no uncertain terms, that he'd made the right choice. They did not care for this news, which indicated he'd played his cards correctly. He was precisely the ace that Cecily needed, and if she didn't appreciate that now, she would soon. Evelyn didn't say you were dating a Callahan, Rosabella said suspiciously to Cecily. Is this new? Cecily shot Porter a glare, and he smiled. Yes, Cecily muttered. Very new. One might even call it news to me. Oh, very funny, he remarked, leaning in to brush his lips near her cheek. Just play along, he advised in her ear. And though she gave him a disapproving glance, she certainly didn't argue. But Cecily's never home, Adria said. Well, when you know, you know, Porter replied, pulling Cecily in closer. So, shall we say hello to your grandmother? Yes, I think we should, Cecily said, gruffly taking hold of his hand and yanking him into the next room. What are you doing? She demanded in a little whisper shout, spinning to face him the moment her cousins were out of sight. I just wanted you to, you know, be here, she said with a touch of frustration, apparently failing to notice that she hadn't released his hand yet. I never told you to lie to my family. If you want the grimoire, you're going to need to make a better case than the one you've got, Porter reminded her, as she grimaced, cutting her gaze away for reasons he wasn't entirely sure he understood. You saw your cousins, he pointed out. They're threatened by you. You're the eldest of the eldest, so once you add in a Callahan to sweeten the pot... Yeah, yeah, I get it, Cecily said through her teeth. It's precisely why our parents wanted us to date to begin with. Which, of course, we never would, he assured her smoothly, giving the hand that was still holding hers a delicate, ever so gentle pulse of pressure. Would we? She yanked free from his grasp, shaking her head. Don't, she warned. This is just pretend, okay? I have a boyfriend. You certainly do, Porter agreed, aiming her toward the crowd of elderly witches that meant Eleanor Ayers was surely among them. Do you want the grimoire, don't you? He murmured again in her ear. And she turned to protest, but was quickly cut off by the motion of the small crowd parting. Cecily, called Eleanor, who was sitting beneath a pile of charmed blankets in an armchair that may as well have been a throne, accommodating her peerless glance of scrutiny. She wore her silver hair in a long braid down one shoulder, not a speck of makeup evident on her face. Matriarch or not, she was a farmer's daughter and a farmer's wife, never one for fripperies or fuss. Hi, Grandma Eleanor, Cecily said with relief. Porter noted that one of the women who seemed to be waiting on Eleanor hand and foot had faltered at the sound of Cecily's voice, backstepping slightly. He was pretty sure she was Miriam Braddock, newly married into the Ayers family, and he caught her sneaking a glance at him, her eyes widening. How are you? Cecily tentatively asked her grandmother, whose cool glance fell on Porter. Fine, dear, though I prefer not to discuss the tedium of my mortality. I see you've brought one of the Callahan boys, Eleanor noted, and Cecily turned over her shoulder, passing Porter something of a half-desperate, half-pleading grimace. Yes, Grandma, Cecily said. You don't mind, do you? Of course not, Eleanor assured her, beckoning to Porter. Come here and let me look at you. Porter, isn't it? Yes, Porter confirmed. The two women they'd met earlier, Adria and Rosabella, had handed off their babies in order to step closer to the unfolding scene. I hope you don't mind my intrusion at a family event, but I thought it was best that Cecily not be alone. She's been so worried about you, he said, reaching for Cecily's waist again. This time, he noted, she didn't stiffen in protest, and her grandmother's mouth visibly twitched with approval. Is there anything I can get you, Eleanor? Please, call me Grandma Eleanor, she assured him, weakly summoning two chairs, one of which had contained Miriam's husband Jonathan until he'd stumbled to his feet, displaced by the slow-motion scraping of the chair, beside her. Join me for a moment, would you? Tell me all about your life, she said to Cecily, beckoning for her to sit. And how you two came to meet again, of course. Cecily glanced uncertainly at Porter, who gestured to the chair. Should we tell her? He prompted. And she returned his look blankly, flushed with either mortification or panic. Oh, don't worry, I'll start. Here, sweetheart, sit down, he said, giving her a pointed nudge before taking the chair beside her. It's not a very exciting story, I'm afraid. We reconnected via the internet. Facebook, actually. Eleanor arched a brow, glancing at Cecily. Oh? Yeah, Cecily confirmed. Porter found me, and we started talking. But there's, you know, not much to tell, she said quickly. It's very early still, so, you know, don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but Oh, she's being modest. The truth is, I completely embarrassed myself for her, Porter said, draping an arm around her shoulders and finding that an absurdly easy half-truth. If you'd asked me 7 years ago whether I thought I'd be writing love notes in the middle of the day, I'd have told you you were crazy. Turns out all it takes is the right girl, he said, lightly brushing his thumb over Cecily's cheek when she slid him an impatient glare. Corny, she mouthed. He smiled back, unperturbed. Love notes? Eleanor asked, glancing between them. Cecily's grandfather was quite the fan of those as well. Well, you should see Porter's poetry, Cecily said, reaching up to remove his hand from her cheek before lacing her fingers with his, setting it firmly in the space between them. Totally humiliating, she added with a glance. Or it would have been if not for being so charming, of course. True, Porter said, cheerfully playing along. Not too much rhymes with Cecily, but you can't blame me for trying. I'd love to hear some of this poetry, Eleanor remarked, missing the motion of Cecily kicking Porter's foot. Maybe after dinner? Ah, it's for her ears only, Porter said. But who knows, maybe inspiration will strike. She does look awfully pretty tonight, doesn't she? He said, giving Cecily a long look that was met with more furtive glaring, though Eleanor, who seemed more than pleased by the couple, smiled warmly. Well, I for one am glad to hear it, she announced, prompting some of the cousins around the room to begin whispering to each other as Eleanor stretched out a weakened hand, laying her fingers approvingly on Cecily's knee. A Callahan witch is an excellent choice, Cecily. Is your mother pleased? Pleased about what? Asked a breathless Evelyn Ayers, bustling in with snow on her coat and freezing at the sight of her daughter in the coveted spot beside Eleanor, her fingers still laced with Porter's. I can't believe you didn't tell me, Evie, Eleanor chided her. But rather than blanching at the comment, Evelyn couldn't seem to prevent her joy at seeing Cecily beside Porter. Well, why ruin the surprise? Evelyn exclaimed with delight. And Porter, seeing that Cecily could clearly find no fault in her family's approval of him, leaned in to speak to her once more. Secrets out, he murmured, and Cecily shook her head. I'm going to kill you, she whispered firmly, for which he had no problem sparing an unburdened laugh.
Ready for a little relaxation? Tiana is bringing us a pathworking and guided meditation. So, get comfortable, witches.
Welcome to your guided winter solstice meditation. This is a sacred moment to honor your inner darkness and welcome the returning light. Bring yourself to a comfortable seated or lying position. Come to stillness. Close your eyes. Focus on your breath. Take 4 deep breaths. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Inhale to welcome abundant new beginnings. And exhale to let go of what no longer serves. The winter solstice marks the shortest day and the longest night of the year, allowing us a moment suspended in time to reflect and let the darkness cocoon us into what lies ahead. Let's begin. You are standing in a lush forest as a light snow falls. The sun sets slowly in the distance. The scent of wood smoke fills your nose, and you follow the path towards it, slowly weaving your way through the trees breathing in the scent of pine and wood smoke in the air. As the cold breeze caresses your face, and the snow and forest floor crunch beneath your feet. All around, nature sleeps. With each step, the scent of wood smoke gets stronger. With each step, you begin to release that which no longer serves you, sloughing off the previous year's worries, stresses, and burdens. As you do this, you begin to feel lighter and lighter, taking joy in nature's embrace as the darkness slowly sets in. As the sun falls gently beneath the horizon and night deepens its hold, stars begin to appear in the sky above the trees. You come upon a small clearing where a small fire burns in a pit and sit beside it. Slowly, you begin to add twigs to keep the fire going. With each twig you add a wish for the new year. As the firelight grows brighter, so the fire within you grows too. You rest for a time beside the warm and cozy hearth. Hear the crackle of the fire, the crisp breeze on your cheek, the light sounds of the deep, dark forest on the longest night of the year. When you are ready, open your eyes. Begin to fully awaken, ready and excited for the return of the light.
All right, witches, I hope you have a beautiful, calming, and magical holiday season. This year may look a little different, but you are not alone. Know that you are loved and you have a family here with us. So we are going to close out this episode with Jessica Baumgartner and one of my favorite songs, Put a Little Love in Your Heart.
Think of your fellow man, lend him a helping hand, put a little love in your heart. You see it's getting late, oh please don't hesitate, put a little love in your heart, and the world will be a better place, and the world will be a better place for you. Can't be, you just wait.
thank you to all of our wonderful contributors.
Jessica Baumgartner,
Kiki Dombrowski, Olivia Blake, and Tiana Sisla.